The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Hi, well done. You've downloaded the podcast. Congratulations. James Buckley is co-hosting today. Show, I don't know, 23. It could be a disaster, or it might not be. Let's see.
Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Talk Radio, give it some lip.
Because you were earning money. That's why you were still there. Apparently we used to share an agent.
Yeah.
And then I got booted out. I wasn't making no money. I wasn't making any money. Penny's on the line. Good evening, Penny.
Good evening, Ian. How are you?
I'm good, thank you very much. James, I have to keep saying this. James Buckley is here, and I will say I want to, no, I think we've avoided the I word enough. I just don't want to keep. You know, oh, so the in between.
I don't
in between.
Mind.
I know you don't.
But I need to ask you a question, though, right? So I've not been listening to the last hour. I'm very, very sorry.
Well,
but I normally watch on Periscope, which is great.
Yeah.
But I haven't been doing tonight, obviously, and I'm on my way home from the pub. I feel I ought to admit that because I may have had a little tipple or two.
Okay.
But I've got a fundamental question.
Yes.
Because, you know, last night you spoke about how you're useless at remembering people's faces and stuff.
I've got facial dyslexia.
I've got exactly the same. And I'll tell you why you have it.
Really? Why?
Yeah. Are you... Well, at the moment we're looking at each other.
Yeah.
But I don't know what this says about me, but I find looking someone in the eye makes me quite nervous.
Yeah, yeah.
And anxious.
We're doing it now, and I really wish...
You broke away.
Okay, so I'm the alpha male.
I look at people's, mouths a lot.
Yeah.
When I'm talking to them.
Yeah.
It makes me anxious. And there are some times where I've met people a few times.
Yeah, yeah.
And I cannot... I realise I didn't actually look at them in the face.
Yeah.
It's maybe deceitful, isn't it, if you can't look at someone?
No,
I've not done anything to anyone. I promise.
But I don't know if it's not looking at... I try and make eye contact, but I hate it. But yeah, I've had that thing, and I was telling you in the car where we were both going, have we met before? I don't think we've met before, but you're familiar because I've seen you on telly, you've seen me on telly and listen to this. But I do that thing where I meet people and go, all right, Steve, nice to meet you. And they go... We worked together for 6 months last year, and it's not out of arrogance. And people think because, you know, I'm in inverted commas the talent, you know, that it's an arrogance, and it's not at all. It's the opposite of arrogance.
It's stupidity.
It's a brain thing. When I was at university in London, we had there was a big hospital attached to our university.
There's no university in London. What are you talking about?
But what we did is to earn money. As a poor student, I used to go and do experiments at the university. So they'd get us to sit in front of computers and do tests while they had electrodes on our brains.
How much did you get paid?
You'd normally got about 50 quid cash in hand.
Beautiful.
It was brilliant.
Doing cash in hand.
Yeah, this is.
Hand. It was fantastic.
We need to clamp down on this. You know, David Cameron's getting a rough rise for having money in offshore accounts. It's these people getting the £50 cash in hand.
People that are getting cash in hand, they're reinvesting it. They're going out and they're buying chips and stuff like that.
It's
going straight back into the economy.
There was an experiment I did with electrodes on my brain whilst looking at photos of famous film actors and actresses and naming them. And they were testing for this whole face dyslexia thing.
Yeah.
It sounds like Clockwork Orange.
I can't remember what it is.
Okay, here's the thing, James. Crappiest job you've been offered.
Oh, I don't know.
And because she reminded me, right? I was once asked to go on a show. I think it was for Channel 5, Channel 4. And they wanted to connect electricals to my genitals. and monitors to my my penis and my balls, to use the Latin.
Yeah.
And then they were going to show me pornography and they were going to measure the stimulation. And I said to the bloke...
Just need a ruler.
And it was for something... It wasn't the word. It was like a latter-day equivalent of that. And I said, right, how much are you going to pay me for that? He said, well, 50 quid and we'll get you a cab. I said, right, that is never, ever going to happen. But for a second, I considered it.
Really?
But you must have been offered, like, stuff... I suppose your agent bats it out of the way before it gets to you.
Yeah, a lot of stuff gets filtered, I think.
Penny, did they ever put electricals on your testicles when you were at university?
For some strange reason, no. Okay. But can I go back to my original question?
Oh, please? I thought we...
I have this thing where I watch TV programmes and films, and yes. I can remember who people are when I look at them, but I haven't got a clue on names. So which one is Jay in the Inbetweeners? Because I don't
actually
know who it is.
That is actually an excellent question.
Little blonde one. The one with the bleached
blonde hair. There's two of those. Were you the one who was in the thing with Jack Whitehall as well, or not?
No.
Okay, I've got it in my head now. That's fine.
Were you the one that was in Dad's Army?
No.
Lucky. Dodge that one.
Oh, Blake.
No, he was. I saw the Dad's Army film, and I'm not expecting you to diss any work that your colleagues done. Of course not, right? I saw the Dad's Army film. I was at a particularly low point in my life where, right. I won't go into details, but I had many days to kill. And one of those days, I had a couple of hours, and I was stood outside a cinema. I thought, right, I've got 2 hours. What's on? Oh, it's Dad's Army. It's only £3. I went and watched it. It looked brilliant. The cast, they all, you know, they look like the TV star. They're brilliant, right. Cast, cracking cast.
I've not seen it.
Not one laugh. Not one laugh in that movie.
Well, I know Blake very, very well, yeah. Both professionally and personally.
Good.
And he is one of the best comedic actors.
And you know that I'm not saying this is
a
criticism.
No.
We've all done stinkers.
Yeah.
We've all done stinkers.
No, he wouldn't.
We've all done stinkers.
He wouldn't take it personally. I don't think he's not that sensitive. But he's brilliant.
Yeah.
He is brilliant. It's only going to be a matter of time where he gets a real vehicle. Blake Harrison's going to be the real breakaway.
Penny, I'm going to let you go because it's very windy there. Maybe something you ate. But you're all brilliant. The four of you are brilliant.
I really like the other three as well. Like, I never really watched. I guess it's normal to hate watching yourself stuff because see a load of things that you thought were terrible.
Yeah.
But I always enjoyed watching scenes that I weren't in, and because I thought the other boys were great. Like, and they're really funny guys, naturally funny, just funny bones. Just and all we did was make each other laugh for days on end.
And it's kind of like the 21st century equivalent of The Young Ones.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I do think so. I think it was that iconic, and it's that four individual... I'm holding up five fingers. It's that four individual striking characters.
Right.
And I think it is that. I think it is as iconic as that. I was going back... I didn't watch it because I had a real problem. I had resentment. I had real resentment around people that were more successful than me that I started with. And the reason I ended up watching The Inbetweeners was when the second film came out, and some friends said, we're going to go to the pictures tonight. Do you fancy it? I said, yeah, right. And we turned out and they went, oh, let's go and see The Inbetweeners too. So that was the first thing I'd seen of it. And I thought it was hilarious. You know, proper laughing out loud funny. And I'd made peace with my history enough that when I saw, like, Ian and Damon and Leo's names pop up and other names that I recognised, I was like, oh, actually, that's brilliant. I'm really chuffed for them.
Spencer Millman.
I wasn't pleased for him, actually. In fact, I wish nothing but baldness on that man, and that wish is almost coming true.
Oh, it's well and truly come
true. Has it
worked? Yeah, don't you worry about that.
The wish has worked, and Rachel and all those people, and I was really chuffed. But I saw the second film, and I thought, well, second film in a franchise is good. It was hilarious. It was proper laughing out loud funny. And so then I did it backwards. So then I did the first film, and then I started at the beginning of the series and did it all in, like, I did it in 3 days. I did you in 3 days, son. How does that make you feel?
Quick.
I was in bed doing you in
there's
3 days.
All right, well, there's a... someone on YouTube has put a big long... I think it's a few hours long of whatever footage of 11 o'clock show is available.
Wow.
I did that in an afternoon, mate.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Beat that.
Okay, I can probably. I was watching you and your missus.
Oh, Jesus.
For both kids.
Right.
When they were conceived.
All right.
Telephoto.
Yeah, but that's not...
There's
There's no time involved in that.
No, exactly. Very bad. I did that like that. Mm. What I'm saying is you're not very good at sex. I have no idea if you're good at sex.
Well,
I'm sure you're a very sensitive lover.
No. So sometimes if you're really good...
You do it
just
quick.
It's like you can have too much. You know,
you don't have too much fun.
No, not at all. Because then it takes away from the fun that you have.
I would love to come and see your one-man show if you ever decide to do it, because I'm imagining there'll be no intervals. In, out, we're done. Thanks, guys. Sam and Jack, stay there. We'll take a break. 0844 499 1000.
Late night Ian Lee. Unfiltered night talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well, I've got to do this story on air now. Again, we're talking about... James Buckley is here. You will recognise him from the in-betweeners. We might talk about some other stuff, or we might not. I don't know. It depends. That you've done. But we've both worked with Ian Morris. Ian Morris is one of the co-creators of the in-betweeners, and he worked with me on the 11 o'clock show. And I was just telling a story that I'd rather not tell on air, but I'm going to tell it on air in the spirit of openness. For the Christmas special of the 11 o'clock show, we flew to Israel, right? Me, Ian Morris, Leo Martin, and a delightful but insane cameraman called Jade. And we had 3 days of filming the most offensive stuff I've ever been involved in. And I didn't know, you know, I went along and did it. I just did what I was told, okay? Yeah. So we had me reading Razzle whilst floating in the Dead Sea.
Okay.
There's a lot of salt in that sea.
Yeah.
We had me dressed up in a suit. Oh, they do loads of weird tourist things there, right? You can walk on the water. Was it the Sea of Galilee where Jesus walked on the water? You can walk on the water. And what they do is they construct like a little metal frame just beneath the surface of the water. Yeah. You get a boat out and then you're walking on the water.
It's sort of Jesus theme park.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. And they can also, you can hire crosses. There were loads of these Americans that hired crosses to carry it around. Not to be crucified on.
Right.
That's perhaps going a little bit too far.
Right.
But they would walk around the streets where Jesus carried his cross to be crucified. Okay. And they'd do it as a penance. And we had to go into...
That's quite interesting, I guess.
It's quite nuts.
Yeah.
We went into the... now, I'm going to... The Dome of the Rock, which is... Is that the birthplace of Allah? Is that not Allah? Somebody. I don't know. You can come in, Catherine, and fill in the details. Anyway, somebody. Right. Boy, oh, boy. I was really tired. It was hot. And I sat down, and this tough guy... with machine gun, pointed the machine. Get up! Don't sit down! Is that where Allah was born?
Not Allah. Muhammad.
Muhammad. All right. Okay. Let's, you know.
Careful.
Dodge that bullet.
There's that little sort of... it looks like a little chimney, is the sort of area where they say that Jesus was born.
Yeah, been in there. Went in there, very dark and cramped.
Well, yeah, it was a luxury, was it? There was no room at the inn.
But it wasn't. It was a cave.
That's not in Bethlehem, though, is it?
It's near it, I think.
Is it?
It's near it. There's the tree where you see the tree where Jesus had a little sit down under.
Yeah,
that's there. Honestly, but then we went to the Wailing Wall.
Oh, flipping heck!
No, I know, and I'm okay. And
don't
I
mess with that stuff.
I messed with it.
Oh no!
Ian Morris said, "Right, this will be really funny, right?" What we want you to do, Ian, right, is we want you to go over to the Wailing Wall, right, and all you got to do, is just do a little jiggle, and bend your knees as though you've had a wee against it and walk away.
Oh no!
I went, all right, Ian, where are you going to be? He said, we're going to be half a mile over there. We've got to tell it we've got a zoom lens on.
Yeah, right? I bet he was.
So you had to go on there. You have to cover your head. So they made me cover my head with a knotted hanky.
I've gone it.
Yeah. Walk up to the way, and I'm you know, I would never do such a thing now, okay? And I didn't realise the significance of it before, you know, people kick off. Well, no, too late, I kick off. And I went over it, over there, and I did it.
Yeah.
And we shot all of this stuff, right? And we took it back to Channel 4, and they spent a fortune on sending us out there. And Andrew Newman, who was the head of comedy at the time, he's now big in BAFTA or something, he looked at it all and he went, yeah, we can't show any of that. And we went nuts. We went absolutely nuts. And I think I called him, I think I dropped a C-bomb at him because I was full of arrogance and chemicals. And we went nuts. And Ian was really upset. And blah, blah, blah. Looking back now, I'm so glad they showed like about 30 seconds of all of this stuff that we shot. And they didn't show any of that. But that's the kind of person Ian Morris is. he's a theology.
He is, yeah. He's got a degree.
Doctorate or whatever
he's got
it
a
is.
Degree in theology, yeah. That's what he's
And yeah, he still made me do those things.
Yeah, and he was flipping miles away. Not daft.
He was Mark. Everyone's Israel's a weird place.
He pulls
place.
The strings, Morris. That's what
he does. He does. He's the puppet master.
He's the kid in the playground who goes, go and kick that big kid.
He is, though.
I'll be over here.
He is, though. Israel's a weird place. Mm. I liked it. Some of the nicest places in the world are also the tensest. I like Pakistan a lot. I love Pakistan. I liked Israel, but flipping it, there's a tension in the air in both of those places.
Next stop, Syria.
I can imagine. It was. I've heard about it. I've not been.
No, and they're just everyone's walking around with not everyone, but there's guns. Anyway, Sam's been on the line for 40 minutes. Sorry, Sam.
It's all right. It's fine. Hello,
mate. You're right. You're through to James, to Catherine, to myself, and even Id can join in if you want. We're all here.
Hi.
Oh,
hi, Id.
This is brilliant. I just want to say to James, first of all,
sure.
The soundtrack to In Between is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Like, I just think, like, might be a strange question, but did you, as the actors, have any say in the music that you're playing or in the edit? Or probably a silly question, but...
No, not at all, no. We didn't have that much to say, actually. It was a woman called Marsha Shandur from XFM. She when XFM was XFM.
When it was good.
Yeah. She did... I don't know if she did the last film, but she definitely did all the series. She did the soundtracking for all the series and stuff, and she picked lots of cool music. If I remember rightly, the first series though had a lot of Kate Nash on it, which was annoying. But apart from that,
Nash, there's a name.
I know, that sort of came and went.
Was
didn't
she
it?
Scottish?
No,
don't know.
That's Amy MacDonald.
She's from London. I got her album for my birthday once.
Oh.
It's a good song on it.
Okay, girly singers that have fallen by the way, Jem. Girly singers poker. Right, I'll go first, second, third. Right.
Oh, I'm not going to win this.
No, I'm
really just really bad at sort of pop culture, and all I do is watch old TV and listen to old music and things
okay.
like
that. Okay, and Sam, you can play as well. You go first, Sam.
Okay, then. Right, Duffy.
Jem.
Duffy's good.
Yeah, that's a good one. Natasha Bedingfield.
Oh, yes! James?
When I was... I think the first year I'd left school, there was a girl called Jojo who was like 13
yes.
that had brought a song out.
Yeah,
get out.
That. Oh, no, he's allowed to. He's got the answer right. Don't tell him to get out. Jojo, yeah. Go on, Sam.
I can't say it. Elijah Doolittle.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. Okay. Gosh, I'm at my wit's end here.
Yeah, I thought I'd really pulled out of the bag with that one.
Oh, I've got a good one.
Hang on.
Are you googling it?
No, I'm not googling it. I'm tempted to Google it, but I'm not googling it. I'm out, guys.
Lucy Silvers.
Yeah. Oh!
She was good.
Can I have Skater Boy?
No, Avril Lavigne's still around.
She's not... She might still be alive, though. Your wife's texting you the answers.
She is.
You'll allow that. Avril Lavigne
She's just texted me saying Sandy Tom.
Oh, yeah.
Oh! I wish I was a punk rocker with flowers in my hair. Yeah. All right. So you got Sandy Tom. Go on then, Sam.
I think I'm out, to be honest.
You're out? Okay, so it's between Kat and James.
Right.
Good luck.
Come on. Good.
Okay, here
if
we go.
My wife's listening.
Here we go.
Hurry up and text in. There's a delay, though, so she'll be a bit behind.
Here we go. Olive.
Oh, what?
Oh, yeah.
Who's that?
You're not alone.
Okay, Blue Cantrell.
Oh, nice. Breathe. Okay. Can I have three all together? Can we do groups?
No,
girl singers.
No, you can't have a girl group.
All right, here we go. Louise. As in nerding.
No.
Now Redknapp.
No.
She doesn't sing no more.
No, not having that. That's denied. Louise is denied because she's eternal. We're not having that. No.
Well, she did have a...
She had a solo thing.
No.
All right. Rachel Stevens.
Oh, because that's what I was going to say next.
No, I'm not allowing girls from pop groups that have gone solo. Not allowing it.
All right. I'll do another one.
Lisa Loeb.
What?
Lisa Loeb.
Yeah, beautiful.
Who's that?
You Mate. Say I only
oh,
hear
okay.
what I want. That one.
Kate Bush only did one
tour
until recently.
Get out.
Kate Bush.
She only did that one tour, didn't she? Until recently.
Kate Bush is a little bit rubbish. I mean,
no,
she was,
she's not. Oh, no.
Don't team up with her.
No.
She's hot in babushka.
Well, seen the video for babushka. One half of her is.
I have, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think she's rubbish.
No, she's not rubbish. She's amazing.
I really like her. Yeah, I think she's original and unusual. There's only a few people that... That can do that.
Yeah.
Unique.
She makes music more a more interesting place.
Who was that? Okay.
I've got one.
Okay, go on.
Sarah Bareilles.
Oh yeah.
All right. Who was the black girl that was everywhere for a while? I went and saw her at the Hammersmith Odeon. She was everywhere.
Macy Gray.
No.
Shaznay.
No. Shaznay Talent.
Miss Dynamite.
I saw her crash in a sports car on Silverstone.
It was
on TV, but I was there when it was happening. It was a racing car.
Emily Sandé?
No, who? Emily Sandé!
I think she might just be
brilliant. She was brilliant.
She was brilliant, but she was on everything.
Yeah.
And when the BBC start putting singers on everything... Here we go.
I just realised that I did look at this. I acted as if I came up with Miss Dynamite then on my own, but what actually happened was I quickly looked at a text that my wife had sent me and then... My brain just thought that I'd got to Miss Dynamite.
Sam, I'm going to have to cut you off. I'm going to have to cut you off for cheating, Sam.
What?
Thank you very much indeed. We can't have that.
40 minutes for that.
We'll have another little break. 0844 499 1000. We'll call you back. Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Man. 0844. We've thought of loads now. Rita Ora, of course. And
I don't know what she... Because they say she's a singer. I mean...
Prove it. Where's the evidence? Where is the Ev? I've not seen any Ev to back this up. Corinne Bailey Ray.
Oh,
I liked her song she did. Yeah. Put in the she had a very sad life, Corinne Bailey.
I know, she did actually. Very sad. She was a widow or something, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She was really young, though.
Yeah. Tara Blackstone, I think. Anyway, very sad. Anyway, right. So James Buckley is here. You probably know him from the image. What else have you been in? Watch TV now. So
I've seen me in an Only Fools and Horses prequel called Rock and Chips.
Oh God!
It was more of a.
Oh God! I'm so sorry.
No, it was really good. I really liked it. It was a.
Who
was
were you in that?
I played the young Del Boy.
Did you really?
Yeah, as a teenager.
Wow.
Yeah. Sullivan wrote it.
Yeah. How long ago was that then? Because he died a while ago.
About five years.
Wowzers.
Ago now, five,
All
six
right.
years
yeah, yeah,
ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, he died. What's really sad is that last time I saw him, like without sounding facetious, he was literally full of life.
He was fit
as a fiddle.
Yeah.
And then I found out he'd passed away, and somebody got in touch with me and said John's passed away. And then I had an old text message from him. And it just said, sorry, I couldn't be in today. I'm trying to get over this cough.
Yeah.
And I think it was pneumonia. But he was, like, fit. He was, like, he was well up for it. He weren't, like, ill or anything.
It's mad, isn't it? He was a machine, that man, you know.
He was, honestly, he was... When I was working with him, he had so much energy.
Yeah.
Loved what he was doing so much, and I was watching him just thinking, if I'm still this excited about turning up to work after the decades, you know, he's put in a shift, John.
Because he could have quit. I mean, he could have quit years before he passed away, because he would have made his money.
Oh yeah, no, time. Yeah, yeah. He's written the most successful comedy in British history, but he was so up for it.
Yeah,
enjoyed it, loved it, absolutely loved it. I thought, if I'm still that enthused, I'm doing something
it's
right.
It's funny,
in my life.
Isn't it? I love this job, and I love the fact it's late at night and it's the slot I wanted and it's the dream job. And you know, the downside is I'm knackered in the morning, but that's it. Right, I love this gig. I think it's brilliant, perfect for me. But I went through a period early on with the 11 o'clock show. I mean, I was 25 when I got. And I got that. And I went from being really massively in debt and signing on to suddenly earning thousands of pounds a week and being on a really funny show. Had very little to do with me. It was all written for me. And the stuff on the street I kind of had a hand in. But the 11 o'clock show wasn't really me. It was other people, and they told me what to say. And I went through a period of really enjoying it and being really nice to everyone. And then in TV, it's a cliche. Maybe you didn't get this, but it's a cliche. You get surrounded by people who tell you that you're brilliant. And suddenly you got a few... I found I had a few quid in my pocket. People were telling me I was brilliant. offering me all kinds of, you know, things to indulge in and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a 90s thing.
I think it is. Maybe it is. It's interesting you say that.
It's the Gallaghers and the Blair Factor and everything.
And I became, for quite a while, I became an arse. I was a terrible person, you know, full of ego and self-importance and thinking I was better than myself. But what was interesting was at the same time I was thinking I'm better than everyone else, I was also thinking I'm worse than everyone else and I don't deserve this. And at some point someone's going to phone me up and go, we made a terrible mistake. You're not meant to be on the television. Yeah. We picked the wrong person. We're so sorry. And which kind of eventually did happen. But so it was this weird thing of thinking I'm a terrible person and I'm worse than everyone else. And also at the same time, I'm a genius and I'm better than everyone else. And there was drugs going all over the place in TV then, and, you know, cocaine and, you know, we the people smoking joints after the 11 o'clock show out on the balcony and stuff like that.
Cocaine is really retro now, I think.
Is it really?
I think so.
I hope so.
I don't think anyone does cocaine anymore.
Wow. I hope so. It was, you know, I'm not saying unless I got involved in that, but I wasted a lot of my time. I made some terrible decisions.
Right.
The common denominator was fear. That was the common thing, was fear all the way through it.
Yeah.
But you seem... And maybe this is just... But you seem quite grounded, and what I've
seen of you, you're
quite grounded.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I think I'm the complete opposite of arrogant. I think I'm rubbish. I think I'm really not very good at my job at all whatsoever. As I think me trying to put that sentence together.
You said whatsoever.
I like I did say ether, didn't I?
I like it when I confuse my th with a v and vice versa. It's nice. It's nice. That makes me feel human. I'm glad I'm not the only one who does it. But do you?
I've got the same friends that I met when I was 4 years old, in nursery in Dagenham.
Are they still four?
They're not. They aged with me.
Actors are insecure. I've got a good friend of mine, Alex, and he's terribly insecure. He's one of the most talented performers that I know.
It's really nice having people saying that they think you're really good. That's what I enjoy.
Yeah.
I feel like I need that.
Yeah.
Because of the insecurity, but I don't believe it when people say it. I think that's just someone's opinion.
Do you have you got a mate, or maybe these mates that you grew up with, that if you've done something rubbish, they'll go, James, I'll be honest, that stunk.
My mates keep me very grounded. So what happened was I was in a sitcom that became really successful and sort of became a big shot in the comedy world for a little while. And they just took the mick out of me more for it.
Brilliant.
I got less respect off my friends because I was acting like a fool on television for a living.
Yeah.
I think that just kept me quite normal.
Yeah.
Like, it stopped me from... because I literally have people... You know, because of Twitter, anyone can get in touch with me, which is sort of good and bad. But I literally have people every day saying, you're my hero. And I want to go, that's, like, cool, like, that's really nice, but...
But you...
aim a bit higher.
But you, when you were, like, 15, 16, 17, watching the telly...
Yeah.
You well, understand what they mean, don't
well,
you,
yeah,
when they say that? Because you must have been heroes.
I'm sitting with one now. Like, literally.
Oh, come on,
like, when I was really young when the 11 o'clock show came out, but I was obsessed with comedy from a young age.
Yeah.
Like, just... I don't know what it was, but I've got an encyclopedic knowledge of comedy. For some reason, it was like school, important things, important dates. I can't remember at all, but I've sucked comedy, like the knowledge, well, the history of
that's
comedy.
That's often how we get work in this business.
Exactly.
We have to suck comedy.
So when there was things like the 11 o'clock show, the Adam and Joe show, even TFI Friday, like watching things like that when I was a kid, I was like, I can't wait until I'm a part of culture and I'm old enough. And then when I got old enough, there was nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing that my generation has where we can all go, we were a part of this, or we all watched that. That was our thing. Our parents didn't watch it, but we were into it. I don't feel that my people my age has that at all.
But I think,
and a lot of the stuff on the 11 o'clock show, I couldn't possibly understand.
Yeah.
But I stayed up to watch it, and it was naughty, and it was...
Isn't it funny? Because I don't...
It was really exciting.
I can't... I'm really proud of the 11 o'clock show. I'm really proud of it, and I love it to pieces. But I'm also aware that at the time, not many people watched it. It got about a million and a half. And I'm also aware that a lot of people were watching it for Ali G. And I used to get, and this was before Twitter, so we get like posts and stuff. But we would get, or reviews would say, Ali G is X, it's worth watching for Ali G and Ricky Gervais, Ian Lee is rubbish.
Right.
And I was kind of the one. And even Daisy got a lot of praise.
Interesting, because even though I watched it,
yeah,
and then Ali G became its own thing and he got his own show and went to America and brought out a film and stuff, and then Ricky Gervais obviously brought out The Office and things like that, I had to sort of think back and go, because like the 11 o'clock show isn't on All Four and, or anything like that, so I had to sort of go, I remember saying they were on it, but I can't, like Ricky Gervais especially,
yeah,
I was like, was he on it?
He dropped the C-bomb on it. We got terrible trouble for that. Right. He dropped the C-bomb and the producers forgot to bleep it. And that, in those days, if there was a C-bomb in a show, they had to give out a special warning before the show.
Okay.
So if it was lots of swearing, they'd say, well, tonight, you know, this show contains bad language. If the C-bomb was in it, they would say, this show contains extreme language. And that meant you were going to get a C-bomb.
But after watching the stuff that's on YouTube at the 11 o'clock show, I was like, oh, yeah, he was in it. But it was just him reporting on something in a flippant, sort of daft, comedic way.
He was funny,
though. He was funny. Yeah,
But I... it's weird. Part of me thinks, what did I do wrong to end up here? In a job that I love, right? Yeah. I mean, in comparative peace to where, you know, where I've been and stuff, you know, breakdowns and all that kind of shiz. But I kind of think, what did I do wrong that I'm here and they're over there making millions of dollars?
It was a subversive show.
Yeah.
And I think you were the face of it, and Daisy. And I think that was the easier target. Because it did look like...
Yeah.
For people watching it, it was like, oh, this... Because you've just said, I was told what to say.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But it just looked like, oh, that this is these guys being funny.
Yeah.
And I think it's... I mean, I was a part of the audience who watched it, so I guess I'm okay saying this, but... People don't really think a lot while they're watching something on television, because it defeats the purpose of watching television in many ways. So they will just take what they see for complete face value and just take that literally. And I think it's gotten even worse nowadays, which is killing comedy, especially. Because now, for some reason now, if you say something that obviously isn't true or you know, it might be naughty to say it or whatever, but if you say something, you can't say, but I was joking.
It was a joke. And it's all taken...
That's not an excuse now.
No, and it's all taken... It annoys me when, like, Jimmy Carr or Frankie Boyle, they'll be, like, front page, out, Jimmy Carr, slam, makes a horrendous, you know, anti-disabled joke or something, and they'll just have that sentence, and I go, right, before I judge that, I want to hear the 10 minutes before it and the 10 minutes after it, please, you know, because... And also... He's a comedian. You know, I don't know if he's made jokes about the but, you know, they're constantly being attacked for their offensive...
A comedian making jokes?
Yeah.
Not on my watch.
Is it not about Pakistanis? And you look back at the comedians from the 70s and 80s, it was all about, you know, blacks and Pakistanis and things like that.
I think an ethos that Jimmy has, I think, is that he likes to cover everything.
Yeah.
So if you find that one thing particularly controversial or offensive, that's your problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyone that's been to see his shows know that they're you know, I'm trying to be polite, rude jokes.
It's what we used to call blue humour.
Yeah.
It's adult humour, something for the mums and dads.
Yes, it's for adult people that are into Jimmy Carr.
Yeah.
He doesn't force anything on anyone. You've come to see his show.
Yeah.
He's not gone up to you in the street and said something offensive. But I've seen him loads of times, but there was this one time that I went to see him, he does a load of warm-ups before he then goes on tour. And he did the Cliffs Pavilion in Southend. And I went to see him, and he made a joke about a disabled person or something, and there was one woman that sort of kicked up. And he made the point of saying, look, I've made jokes about race, about rape, about paedophilia, but because this one... And you've sat there and laughed, but because this one joke has affected you, and you feel offended by it,
yeah.
you've now felt the need to heckle me and shout out.
Have you ever seen Jerry Sadowitz?
No.
Oh, mate, I'm taking you to see Jerry Sadowitz.
Okay.
You want to see someone, he offends everybody, and it's hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, and people will get up and walk out.
I just think you should either joke about everything or joke about nothing.
Yeah.
Talk Radio. Talk and entertainment across the nation.
Talk Radio.
Give it some lift.
Well, that was the podcast. That's all I can be bothered with. Ta-ta.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.